Now, we had a bit of a different kind of episode last time.
We did. It was a departure. I think that's probably good.
Fine, you know? Once in a while, maybe. I don't know. We'll see if people like it. If they do, maybe we'll do more of them. If they don't,
well, I think people come to these podcasts because they want to learn something about life. And they want to learn from us because they know how wizened we are.
Sure.
And they trust anything we say. So, you know, we could do... I think it behooves us and the fans of the podcast to take on a bunch of different subjects so we could really educate people through this podcast.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Sure. I'll tell you what about last week's thing. I was like sort of thinking about the conversation we had, and I felt bad about specifically naming the kid from my high school.
Well, we could beep it out.
I think maybe we ought to. Only because it's like, then that's still, then I'm just passing down the bullying. Now I have the upper hand and I'm slamming down the bullying.
Yeah.
And bullying only stops when someone takes the high road.
Mm.
So you want to take the high road? You
want to take
that?
The high road.
We'll go back and beep his last name out. Leave his first name.
Okay.
Beep his last name out.
Great.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that with Brendan McPoyle?
Can't do that.
I love Brendan McPoyle, okay? Brendan McPoyle is...
Don't lie.
He's my buddy, man. I just like, I feel bad that...
He was.
You know... Yeah,
but to me,
he shouldn't be.
To me, it's like
holy shit, what's Rob! That what's cat is giant. A giant cat.
I got a big, beautiful cat. I love him. I love that cat.
Huh. Kind of cat is that?
It's a badass street cat, even though he looks regal and beautiful.
Wow.
I'm not a cat. Glenn knows I'm not a cat person. I live with him for years with cats, and this fucking cat. I love this cat.
Yeah.
What is it with the smell of cat shit being 1,000 times worse than dog shit?
It's not. It's just it's in the house.
Oh, maybe that's
you know, your dogs aren't shitting in the house into a litter box, like, so you know it smells up the whole fucking...
This cat doesn't shit inside anymore.
He only
shits outside.
The cats are brown now, which is a line from this episode. It's a good segue.
The cats are brown now.
So let's talk about
Miracle.
What is the title?
The gang exploits a miracle.
The gang exploits a miracle.
Exploits. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys remember about this episode? I mean, I, most significantly, it's the introduction of Rickety Cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Probably, right? That's probably the most significant.
David Hornsby, I'm sure we've discussed him on this podcast already, who's a brilliant actor and writer. And really been with us from the beginning, giving us tons of funny ideas and doing a lot of great writing. And
he was the first person to write on the show. I mean, we tried to hire out a couple, some people to write scripts.
Well, this episode, we did hire two writers.
Yeah.
And they did a pass at this episode and we used a chunk of their material.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Romano and Eric Falconer.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I believe, maybe I'm remembering this incorrectly, but didn't they come up with the name Rickety Cricket?
They might have.
I think they did.
I don't know.
I think they did.
They might have.
Yeah.
That's possible.
They had a lot of funny ideas and they were good writers. And they were. Yeah. This was the first time we sort of successfully had someone, work with us to write an episode. Aside from, David's contributions.
Yeah.
Well, and Hornsby wrote, I think, the one that we're going to do next, right? The Gang Runs for Office or whatever that one is.
That's right.
I believe he wrote that one. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, I had forgotten that Chris Romano and Eric Falconer wrote for us in season two. I thought that the only other person who wrote for us in season two was Hornsby.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, no, so it's weird, though. Did you guys notice how, like, how grounded David's performance is?
Yes.
He starts out very...
It's like a real person.
He's a real person.
Yeah.
Like a real actor playing
Like, really good. Like, watching his performance, I'm like, he's a really good actor. What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he just leaned too heavily into the bits.
Well, we threw away any groundedness by the very next usage of his character. I think
pretty much
he was banging on a garbage can shirtless in the next episode.
Is that the next time? That can't be the next time.
That's a big jump.
I think that's the next time we see him.
Right. It's in the gangster episode or whatever, where he's on the streets and you guys get him doing cocaine and shit like that. Yeah.
What I noticed about this episode was that there was like 5 storylines. Every character had a distinct and specific storyline that was separate from the other characters, and they were all connected, obviously, in some way. But everybody was sort of off on their own.
Well,
Mac and Charlie were together, but each one of them had a different want and need, And I don't know, I thought that was interesting in how we took each individual character and gave them their own story.
I didn't notice that, yeah. That's a tough thing to do with only 22 minutes to try to have like, you know, three or four stories. But usually the smallest story just, it's like a couple bits.
I had a couple. Scattered,
like my thing, like my fasting thing.
Yeah.
The episode.
I found that very amusing. I found the stuff between you and me very amusing. I had some real genuine laughs that I sort of was, in my memory, I remember feeling like, yeah, this one's not so great.
Yeah,
and
then same.
I watched it and really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Especially the stuff with you and me and preaching to those, to the followers.
Yeah, you got to do some really fun stuff, like putting on that big white suit and, you know, the song. Yeah. Do you guys remember how we came? I mean, I remember us like talking about that song and like joking about the song, but I don't remember where exactly
I think
it came
almost
from.
All of it was improvised. I think that whole section of shoes and the Lord giving you shoes.
Oh, that was
I don't think
was,
any
yeah.
of that was scripted.
Well, I know it was. You know how I know it was improvised? Because Charlie is, you can see how amused Charlie is as he's coming up with the whole like shoe thing. You know, trust in God, he'll give you
yeah.
shoes. But
yeah,
you can
yeah,
see
yeah, I'm laughing.
He's got a smile.
You know, I was thinking about that too. I was thinking, you know, it's funny, right? Like, okay, you go do some drama. You're not going to be amused the whole time, but you get together, you're making a comedy. And you start playing with an area and you find it amusing, you know, and it's, there's something in that high wire act of like, obviously we put a lot of hard work and we take what we do very seriously. And then it's completely not serious to the point where it's almost okay to just be laughing while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And there's some spark there. I don't know. I don't know if I can.
I wonder if like subconsciously, because I see it in other shows. Right. Where I'm like, oh, I think that person is laughing. But I think at the end of the day, maybe even subconsciously, you're like, oh, they're having fun doing what they're doing.
I think so.
And I think on a show like this, that can be so like acerbic and aggressive and difficult, like subject material, like to see that we're having fun.
Yeah.
And that we're making fun of the people that we're playing.
Or I feel like there's like this could all fall apart at any moment. Mm-hmm. Kind of a feeling to it. Right. Which yeah. is like it's hanging on by a thread. And that's why it's funny.
Yeah. Because when you find it, if you find something as you're standing on that high wire.
Yeah.
You know, it's really gratifying to know that, to just know that you've hit on something that's like, that's going to strike a chord, or at least that you think is funny.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly that priest spitting directly into my face.
And oh, I remember
fucking
that.
Disgusting that
yeah.
was.
Oh, yeah.
And I
then,
remember that.
And then we got a little bit into this yesterday, but like how often we have characters spitting into each other's faces.
Sure.
It's
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
Like maybe
yeah.
the most in the history of any comedy ever, right? Like, because that's not necessarily...
No,
funny.
No. It's pretty wildly gross and like not, yeah. you know, it's, I mean, yeah. So the kid spits in your face in the abortion episode.
Oh yeah.
The
yeah.
priest spits in your face. Then we have the 1776 episode where like three or four different people spit in Hornsby's face.
In Hornsby's face. Yeah.
What else? Though? Is there more than that? Am I?
I mean, I'm sure. If you
Hornsby gets his face spat on so many times in that 1776.
Yeah. He took it like a champ. He really did. By the end though,
it's
he was
runner.
Like,
enough.
He's like, that's enough, guys. Come on. Like take after take of it too. Like how many times did that priest spit in your face?
I think that was the one yeah. we got it. And
yeah.
And
that
like,
guy
I
was
also,
hilarious.
Yeah. And I don't know that he was too far off from the character he was playing.
No. Well, I'll tell you something. I looked him up. Did you guys look him up? He's still alive.
No, he
wow.
is not.
He's still alive.
How old
alive.
Is he?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe yeah, I looked him up on IMDb. Maybe they don't know that he's dead, but he's... But he was born in 1930, as I recall. So he would have been 76 when he made the episode with us. So now
oh, he looked bad for 76.
Yeah,
he looked
yeah,
96.
He didn't look great.
Yeah. Oh my yeah. god!
No, I think no, he's no. I you're wrong actually, because he's like a theater guy. He's like a real like an acting teacher.
Maybe he was
like
method.
He went real. Yeah,
maybe he
I think
was method.
He,
yeah, yeah, he I was. Think, I remember him being very very good. Rhea Perlman's father
yes.
is in that episode.
Oh, yeah,
Phil,
as the guy who says, "I think I'd rather get a blessing from him. He looks a little.
He
bit
looks
more...
a lot more religious than
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he seems a lot more religious than
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
and he was in Cheers.
Many times, right?
He was
a recurring
many
character.
Time, recurring character in Cheers. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. He's
that
funny.
Was a thrill. He was great.
But was he an actor or did,
no.
or was he just a funny guy and they were like, let's put him on Cheers because Rhea's on the show and
yes.
it'll be fun.
Yes.
So he's not an actor at all.
No. No, I think he was like an accountant.
That's great.
Or something. We should yeah. find out exactly.
Yeah,
what he
he's
was,
fucking but. Great.
You know, we talk about a lot in this show, religion,
mm-hmm.
like a ton.
Like because we all grew up.
Yeah.
It's because we all grew up in religious households. I mean, you grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
Although your parents weren't like hardcore Catholics though, right? Just were Catholic.
No, I went to every Sunday. I did all the.
Oh, so they were.
Yeah.
Okay, and then obviously your dad was pretty religious, right?
Yeah, all very confusing. I definitely grew up Catholic. Went to Catholic school all the way through.
But did you go to church every weekend? Did you go to church every Sunday?
Yeah, every Sunday.
Every Sunday. Did you go to Sunday school?
No, we didn't have to go to Sunday school because we went to Monday through Friday school, we got the Catholic beaten right into us.
Right, right. Yeah, and I grew up Methodist, church every Sunday, Sunday school. I mean, church was like in our lives, like the church we went to in Montgomery, Alabama was, it was huge. What I was like, it was like a mega church before there were really a lot of mega churches, mm-hmm. you know? They even had, I think they had their own show, but it wasn't as big as like the Joel Osteen type thing or anything like that. But it was, but for the area, I mean, it was huge. And so like the youth group aspect, they had a youth group and that whole aspect of it was so fun. I mean, we had a full.
Yeah, that's when you went to the camp.
We had a full court basketball court. We had like, you know, all kind of games and stuff. They were always like putting together activities and stuff, you know, so I spent a lot of time. You know,
I think the major difference that I see is like the vast majority from for better or for worse. It seems like more people from like that part, that like section of the country, that like Methodist born again, they truly believe. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was just surrounded by people who didn't, but they just go because that's what their parents did and their grandparents did and their parents before that. There wasn't a lot of like dialogue really. It was just like this is what you do.
Catholic thing, you can just kind of like check in and check out.
Like, it becomes a part of your identity, but it's not really like something you're
right.
It's almost actively engaging.
But there's less more of the social thing. Of explain this to me. So, lots of battles, bloody wars, mm-hmm. hatred, pointing fingers between. You know, a Protestant and Catholic, let's say in Ireland, or just like a Baptist.
They went a lot further than pointing fingers.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Pointing all sorts of things.
Pointing guns.
Yeah, pointing things that explode. It's just fucking bananas. It's the same religion.
Well,
it's the same God, but you're like.
Well, you guys are obsessed with the Virgin Mary. What is that? Right? We're not obsessed with that, with her over in the Protestants. I mean, we like her. You know, we recognize her contribution. Mm-hmm.
I think you hate women more as a culture than I'm not sure. What was it that
is that
it has to be the savior as a man?
No, we only hate women who try to act like they're equal to men.
Ah, right.
Okay. The women who know their place, we don't hate them. We love them. We love them deeply.
Right.
So as long as you know your place, you're good. You're good with the Protestants. But yeah, what's the deal? Like, what is it about? Like,
who gave birth to God? What is it about this person?
She didn't even have to get fucked to do so.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
think about that.
Oh, that goes back to the thing with my grandmother, how she said she'd never been with a man in spite of the fact that her daughter, my mother, was there to see her at the nursing home.
God bless. Yeah,
yeah. So she saw herself in that same way.
I did sleep in a bucket of sperm one night, and I believe that's
it
could have happened that way.
Rob, I'll pop this question to you since you already asked a question, Charlie. Like, what are the things that separate Catholicism from Protestantism? Like,
well, I'll tell you right. There was a guy named Martin Luther. And he was all up in arms about people paying to go to heaven. And there was, I forget what that, there was a fancy term for, do you remember the term for those things where Rob, it's like,
I think it's like, wasn't
it's, it sounds like reparations or something, but it's not that.
No.
But anyway, so he's getting pissed about this and he goes and he writes sort of like a list, mm-hmm. and he hammers it on a door in a church somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the list is like, no, we don't need to have crucifixes in the church, and we don't need all this ornamentation, and we don't need to pay to go to heaven. And this whole transubstantiation thing where the cracker actually turns into Jesus. Nah, that can be a metaphor. And you guys are focusing on the wrong things. Let's focus on the real sort of like,
was he also like objecting to like the sort of the hierarchy, the whole like, you know, just bishops and cardinals and all these motherfuckers that are like, who are these fucking people? Like, I can have a direct relationship with Jesus Christ. It's got nothing to do with the Catholic Church.
Possibly. And I think what sort of happened is people saw that pamphlet and then there was an uproar. I think he was probably killed. I'm not a historian, so.
Are you not?
but then, you know, then I don't know. Then at some point, England was like, actually, I dig his way. And then there was all sorts of bloody wars.
Well, I think that's so what's interesting about Catholic school is like, we didn't really learn. We knew that guy existed, Martin Luther, right? But it was like, he's a heathen. We don't really talk about
right. him. Right. He who shall not really, be named.
And we had classes, right, called religion class. Mm-hmm. It was called religion. Mm-hmm. And then you would go, you sit there, and it would be Catholicism. Mm. And then even at like 14, you'd be like, well, this is a religion.
Right, right.
And they're like, no, this is the religion. And you wouldn't learn about anything else, anything except for Roman Catholicism.
Yeah.
Which was very specific.
Yeah.
So when you get into like the nitty gritty of like other versions of Christianity, I have no clue.
You don't know.
No idea other than like talking to you or talking to Charlie.
I guess I don't really either because I only went to Catholic church one time with a friend of mine. And this is why when we did that, the episode where we were like constantly standing and kneeling.
Yes.
Was like, I remember bringing this up to you guys back then because the one experience that I had was like, we were constantly standing and kneeling and everyone knew when to do it. And I was mm-hmm. like, what the fuck is this? Like, why are we constantly standing and kneeling? And I didn't get it. And then when they went up to take communion, they were like, why don't you just stay here?
Yes.
Like they didn't let me take communion. Correct. And I was like, fuck these people. Like, yeah. What? Mm-hmm. I don't get my Jesus cracker?
No, you haven't gone through the steps.
Yeah.
I'm getting both.
Sorry, what are the steps? There are steps.
Oh, yeah. Well. It's an educational thing. Mm-hmm. And then first there's baptism, and then there's
You were baptized.
I was baptized.
But you weren't baptized Catholic.
Well,
you're fucked.
Oh, you're going to go to hell no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, if there is a hell.
Unless at the very end.
On your deathbed, you have enough time to be like, my bad.
Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, basically. And then you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I got both. I went to both Catholic. My dad went to a Catholic church in town. Mm-hmm. And my mom went to the Protestant church that her mother and guest father went to.
Boy.
Every now and then, I got to go dabble in the Protestant thing, too.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it, though. It was a lot more kind of hippy-dippy.
Oh, and you like your shit.
Oh, that's so weird. Like,
I like my shit. Like, don't bother me. Let me come in, do the kneeling, standing, eat the cracker, get out of here. Yeah.
That was what we saw a lot of Roman Catholic. It was like, hey, you just show up, you go to the shortest mass, whatever. Like, we know there's a priest that does like a 25-minute mass. Yeah. That's the one you do.
Yeah.
You get in, you get out, everybody's happy.
Yeah, right. I didn't want to do the whole like bake sale, and then we're going to be holding hands and singing. Like,
Methodist, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It is.
But there's
for
great value
people.
In that because that's the whole community aspect.
That's
of it.
Right.
And that's the thing that's like, I think that is strange and difficult. And we've talked about this a little bit already, but it's probably the reason why it keeps coming back up on the show is that it's very confusing for me personally, because the Catholic Church has also done amazing things for the world and for me personally.
Yeah.
Like my schooling, my education, going through Jesuit, I've talked about this like quite a bit, but like, my Jesuit education is like truly who made me who I am today. So it's really, I have this like very odd relationship with them.
Yeah.
It's a tricky thing, right? Because like you said, tons of good all around the world done all the time and tons of bad and tons of people taking advantage of it and twisting it. And also the fact that it needs to feed the beast like any other religion or cult, you know, where it was like, no, we need more people, we need more money. Like, it's tricky.
Yeah,
it's tricky.
Yeah. And so I remember at the time there was a whole, and it continues to this day, but there was like a year where people were seeing the Virgin Mary all over the place.
There was like a Virgin Mary and a piece of toast at one point. Remember that shit? Like,
yeah.
Well, somebody toasted a piece of toast.
Have you guys had any visions, like ghosts or like anything of the spiritual realm that you feel like?
I had a really crazy experience once in my apartment in New York that scared me beyond belief.
Mm.
Go.
Go.
Okay, speak. So I was asleep or half asleep, that sort of like half asleep. No, I was asleep. I was asleep but in my dream, I could see myself in my bed asleep, and there was this dark, amorphous thing floating through the air, floating in, and it floated into my room and I could watch it, but I couldn't. And I was like trying to wake up because I knew I was asleep, but I couldn't wake up. And I was like frozen. It was one of those things where you're like paralyzed in your sleep. And it just, and it was getting closer. And as it got closer, there was this like humming noise. It was like, I mean, it was freaky as fuck. And then it was just hovering directly over me, just like fucking this dark, dark, dark energy or whatever the fuck it was. And then I remember I was finally able to open my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, it was still there. And then it the sound went and like and it like dissipated and went away. But like when I fucking opened my eyes, it was still there. It, I mean, again, probably all in my head, but still it was it was one of the it is the scariest thing that I've ever experienced in my entire life. I don't know what the hell was going on there. It was an old building. They tore it down.
Were you mildly aroused as well? I mean,
it could have been the night, man.
Yeah.
It could have been the night.
There's a Ghostbusters situation there where Dan Aykroyd's sleeping and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden the ghost right. hovers mm-hmm. over him. Then suddenly his pants unbuckle. I was watching that with my son when he was much too young he's still too young. And we get to that scene. He goes, "Daddy, what's happening?"
Yeah.
And, you know, Dan Aykroyd's getting a blowjob from the ghost. And I go, "Russell, he's chasing ghosts so much that he's having dreams. They're getting him dressed for school." And Russell's like, "Oh yeah, that checks out." He's like, "Cause I thought he was getting a blowjob, Dad. But all right,
okay. You sure he's getting dressed? But yeah, he seems way too happy about it.
He sure is enjoying getting dressed for school."
I just had to deal with this last week because we should talk. We could do a whole podcast on introducing the show. Our show to our kids, but I took Leo to the mix and that's an audio mix. And I thought, I don't know, it's going to be fun. Go see what Dad does. And I didn't even look at the episode, but in the episode, I won't give anything away because we've done this a million times. Dennis is bedding a woman and we have a very specific shot. Dennis like straining as he's,
how'd that go?
Yeah. And he just turned to me and was like, in the mix. He's like, "What is that?" And I was like, "He's doing push-ups." And Dennis, you see, Dennis has like, Glenn's got a great body.
Thank you.
And we have to justify it by making Dennis do exercise.
We have to justify it.
And he was like, "Oh,
let me ask you a question.
Exercise.
Right. How old?
Why is there a woman screaming?
Right? Old enough for him to be like,
yeah, there's a woman screaming.
Something else going on. At what point? It's probably most people listening are like, it's like 3 years ago. Do you like explain sex and be like,
well, no, they're teaching
the conversation with Axel, who's 11.
I think they start teaching sex ed at the school that mine and Rob's kids go to.
Yeah.
At a pretty early age. I mean,
they're breaking the ice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've had the sit down, like, let's talk about it.
What is the church's stance on sex these days? Is it still, "Hey, just don't do it"? Are they still furious if you use a condom, or have they lightened
That's
up
a Catholic
on that?
Thing.
That's a Catholic thing, right?
That's
it
a Catholic
was,
thing.
Right? It was like an abstinence was the only...
I still believe that birth control is problematic for them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As is abortion. You know, that was always the rub.
Okay, I won't touch abortion yet, but let's just start with birth control. How are you going to have a problem with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because sex is solely for procreation. Yes, for procreation.
Oh, sex is solely,
and you can't, and enjoying it is a byproduct.
Yes.
But it is something that is blessed by God. This is for God, not for you,
right.
The two of you to enjoy.
But also, like the Catholic Church wants you to make more little Catholics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they want more of them. You know, it makes the cult
stronger. Can you imagine that information first getting out to people where it was like, "We will love each other like our brothers. Yeah, 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 yeah. Only the poor and the meek shall inherit the earth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sex is really bad and we won't do anymore."
Wait.
Are you sure?
Wait.
Yes, quite sure. All sex? Yes. What about anal sex? Now, very bad, very bad. We're going to destroy a whole city where they're doing that nonstop.
Rabble.
A hand job? Still not good.
Not great.
Masturbation. No masturbation. None of this.
Well, I do know, yeah, masturbation's problematic because you're taking the seed and you're killing the seed of God.
I remember a specific thing, like your seed was not supposed to touch the ground. Like
right.
if it hit the...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my seed never touches the ground. I try to avoid letting it touch the ground to this day.
What if it touches a cup? Or a sock? Can it land in a river? Or a stream?
That may have been the only time where women felt pretty good to be excluded from the conversation altogether.
Because
It was like, well, I guess we can just keep doing it. They're not even mentioning us because right. We don't even matter enough.
We can diddle ourselves stupid.
Yeah,
because they're not even, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fun.
Well, next speaking command, of, women are your property.
Ooh, damn.
So close.
Yeah. Okay, well, I like that one.
Well, that works, but I can't have sex with them. No.
Well, you can. But they got to get pregnant.
But and you if
they
must don't, make babies.
Yeah.
Then the women are like, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you guys something that on the surface is sexual, but, you know, it really isn't sexual. It's just about, you know, humiliation and comedy. And that's putting someone's balls on someone else's chin.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
Or so... The network, we originally in the script, it was that we teabagged him, right?
Yes.
That's, for those of you who aren't familiar with that expression, if you're listening to the podcast, you probably are.
Mm-hmm.
Teabagging is where you dip your balls mm-hmm. into someone's mouth as one would a teabag.
An unconscious person. And no, by the way,
No. That doesn't happen. This episode is unconscious, but you could teabag a conscious person. I'm perfectly sure.
You could have, if well, they were
if
willing.
If that was a sexual,
can we
willing.
Teabag. Each other. Yes, that's fine. It's fine.
That's fine as long as it's only for comedy.
If it's done for comedic purposes,
then thank it's you. Fine.
Both of my kids have asked me what teabagging is because that's a popular a video game. There's a video game out there that where they're teabagging each other.
Wait, I'm sorry.
What?
Game are you letting your kids play?
Fortnite.
Oh, dude. You should get them off that crap. What are you doing?
They don't play it anymore, but there was a period 2 years ago.
They were teabagging their classmates.
And yeah, they teabag each other, which when there's a dead body, they like basically crouch over it and they call it teabagging. And so I had to explain what that is. And, you know, this, Megan and I were talking about this yesterday. Like, this is where there's this very specific and dangerous gray line that is very specific to men and does not cross over into women, where it is theoretically funny to have a friend who's asleep and you put your dick or balls onto his head or face because he might wake up. Now, I would never do this to Glenn, for example. You got to know the audience because he's not going to find it funny. I don't think Charlie would either. But I know many guys, especially when I was 15, 16, you know, 17, where if that happened to you, you didn't feel violated. You didn't feel assaulted, right? Because that's sexual assault.
Yeah.
I mean, legitimately, sexual assault.
Hey, but wait, to a dude. Come on. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah? Like, what happens if Megan's passed out right now?
And we're that's like, sexual hey, assault.
Exactly.
But if you pass out and I put
but
my
that's
balls
the point
on
I'm trying
your
to make.
Forehead and we take a picture.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's just hilarious.
That's
come
the
on.
Point I'm trying to make, which is that there is a difference between right. doing that to, but you still have to recognize that it's a willing participant, meaning it's your buddy,
yeah.
and he's gonna wake up and be like, "Oh, they got me. Now I can like get him."
No,
but it can't be some stranger that you're doing it to. You're sticking your genitals into his mouth.
Like, what if there was something called plumbing? You know what I mean? It was like to plumb someone, and you enter their anus while they're asleep.
Sure.
You know,
it's the same
for comedy.
It's the same thing for comedy. For it's not sexual. It's funny.
Yeah. It's funny. You got plumbed.
I will say. It's a bizarre thing to actually do. Like talking about it in a vacuum is one thing, but like I would never be like, hey, this is gonna be really funny when I put my genitalia into this guy's mouth.
No, but I don't think I ever even did that in high school.
I also never saw anyone do it.
The closest thing I can think is like we had a thing where if you were sitting and your back was to people, like every once in a while you'd look over and there was a dick on your shoulder. A dick or like a ball, dick and balls
that's
on your shoulder.
Good. Yeah.
And that's we good. Would never, ever, even at 16, we would never do that to like one of our girlfriends or
right.
a woman because we knew that was, even at 15, 16, that was inappropriate. But for dudes, like every once in a while, you'd just be sitting there and you'd feel something and you knew, you could feel a presence behind you. And then you knew it was there.
Yeah.
And then you had to get it, you had to slap it as fast as you could before the guy knew that it was coming. Yeah.
Oh, that's like, good. That's a good comeback to that, right? To slap the penis.
You're gonna, and that's why the balls stopped coming. Yeah, so right. The penis, you catch a penis with okay, you can get
it's
over
it. It's gonna sting, but it's not gonna.
The whole nut sack, that's painful.
Very painful. Yeah.
That's ouch. No, me and my buddies were not doing that to each other.
No, we weren't doing that either. We don't do that in the South.
I mean, the way like,
so that was just like a feeling.
You and your homoerotic friends. Sometimes, you know, like draw a good mustache on somebody with Sharpie, that kind of gag, you know, but
we had different kinds of friends. I think.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I want to say, so I do want to talk about this because I remember us finding this so perplexing that the network would not let us say teabagging on the show. So we submitted balls to the chin to them and they were like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
A strange thing. Like,
so strange.
Who writes the rules?
I guess the idea is maybe one's less offensive because you haven't entered the person's mouth. Technically, you've just put your balls on their chin. And that's like slightly less offensive somehow. I don't know. Now, I think if we wanted to put teabagging in the show, they would give a shit.
Yes.
They would definitely let us put it now. Yeah. Right?
It is crazy as a society how... And this must go back to like a puritanical thing just from the roots of the country. But like... You know, because we were escaping religion and for stricter religion. We were coming here to be like, no, we want to be more strict about religion. And why? I mean, our most popular movies are extraordinarily violent with people getting shot and blown up. And like, if you saw someone's penis, like that's way too far. That's taking things too far. That's crazy, right? Like, why? How do we come to this? Now, I'd rather maybe see violence in a movie than a bunch of dicks, but
but not everybody. But there are lots of people who'd rather see dicks than violence.
But it depends on the movie. It depends on the movie.
Right. So there is a type of movie. Right, there's a type of movie that you would like to watch that has dicks just all.
How are you gonna give me Magic Mike without the dicks? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That doesn't feel very magic.
I enjoy
to me.
Looking at a dick. I like it.
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem looking at anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Well, we established all
right,
good. That.
That's great, guys. That's great.
Well, I'm just saying it doesn't seem right. It seems like religion got in the way of us viewing dicks, especially dicks for comedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Dicks in comedy that's definitely funny.
Yeah.
It used to be that male nudity immediately elicited an X rating.
Rated X. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I believe finally that's been eradicated, but an erect male penis I think might still get you that X.
Right.
Which I don't get it.
Well, it's the state of ecstasy that the man is either in or not in that determines the rating. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess it's to keep our, it's for the same reason why we're like dancing around the topic with our kids, you know? It's like, we got to put an X on this so no kids stumble into seeing these penises and vaginas. And
I don't know. I feel like the rules were made up by men at a certain point, certainly like the MPAA. It was just a group of dudes who were like, it's okay to see women naked. Like, we can exploit women. That's fine. That's no problem.
You can't really see vaginas, though. Like, I think that would get
that's
you.
True. Oh, yes,
you
can.
That would get you an X-ray.
No fucking way. The entire
in the
80s.
Yeah,
the entire
in the 80s.
It was like, it was just bush after bush after bush.
You're seeing
bush.
Pubic hair, but you're not seeing the vagina itself, right? You're like.
You mean if someone's taking the hair and splitting it together.
Just the same way that if a guy was running around with nothing but a giant bush of pubes and you couldn't see the guy's penis, they'd probably be like, yeah, okay, that's funny. Like, that works, you know? But if even a little bit of penis peeks out of that bush there, we're going to, you know,
that's
we got to slap a new rating on this thing altogether.
Well, what else about this episode? I mean, I know we've talked about my weird
the diet. We've already discussed the diet.
Yeah, we talked
and
about that, right?
This is the episode where
that's
we
why
really
we,
you know,
we wrote we, yeah. we wrote decided to write to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you fall off that bar stool?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great stunt.
Yeah, you fainted off that bar stool.
You fainted off that bar stool. You look, you Yeah, that's some stagecraft.
Yeah, I don't know. I think just that's sort of like a younger man's game. You know what I mean? Like if I was asked to do that now, I'd be like, oof, damn, that's gonna really hurt. Like, but I think back then I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. That'll be fun. Like I thought it would be fun, and it was. I don't know. It did look real though, Mike. The trick, right, is to not put your hands out. Like that was the tricky thing about it. I remember, but I don't know. I don't know. Speaking of it, like, God, I hurt my shoulder, man. I don't know. I slept on it weird or something. My right shoulder's fucked up. And that's just from sleeping on it. Imagine what would happen if I fell off a bar stool now.
Yeah.
Oh, God in heaven. Whew, everything just hurts more these days, guys. You know?
Yeah. I'm all banged up.
God damn. Podcast brought to you
but
by...
But you're fine. You're fine. You attribute it to the ice baths that you take?
I have no real chronic physical issues. I think I have good genetics. My dad doesn't really. And also, I don't know, never being an athlete ever. Like you
wearing spent down year, a specific yeah, yes. joint.
You spent years and years and years wearing down very specific joints, doing all that. Even if it was in your youth, like,
yeah,
you know, and for 10, 12, I never did any of that.
I also find that almost every acting thing that I do, whether it's on Sunny or any of the other projects I've gotten to do, I'm going through a lot of like slamming into things and, you know, just like it's very physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to like the physical comedy stuff where you have to really like you could and that shit really like I think people think like there is a way to do all those things, all those stunts and things like quote unquote safely. But that doesn't mean you're not getting hurt. You are getting fucking hurt. You're not like breaking a bone ideally or, you know, something worse than that. But like, you know, when you fall off of something or you get slammed into a wall, it fucking hurts.
Yeah.
It fucking hurts. You get bruised up. You get beat up. I mean,
when we did Fist Fight, you know, I'm not playing a guy who's supposed to look like Rocky Balboa in his prime, right? I'm playing the nerdy guy who doesn't want to be in the fight. And so obviously I'm not like ripped in an amazing fighting shape. And we shot that fight for like a week straight. So you're doing like 14-hour days all day, every day.
Just,
you know. And Ice Cube is not a stunt man, so sometimes when he goes to throw you into a school bus, he overshoots it, and you go slamming into the school bus, you know? And well, I got sciatica on that. Like, I couldn't feel my foot. It was crazy.
Well, wow. I can remember, like, I'm watching a lot of football now, soccer in the U.S., and I'm so used to watching it on TV, and it looks like guys are always flopping, and they're like, oh, man, get the fuck up. They're all faking it. And when you go and see it live in person, like on the field, you see how hard they're smashing into each other.
Oh, it's brutal.
It's brutal. And so I was asking them about, like, what does it feel like when somebody's like, you know, you're running at each other. And I've heard this from a lot of professional athletes. They say, you know, the big hits aren't the big things. It's like the small things you weren't expecting. And I remember the worst injury you ever had, Charlie, on Sunny. Yeah, was that time. Well, no, you didn't break it. You bruised it, right? You landed on your elbow.
I got like a hairline fracture in it and bruised
and,
it.
Yeah. And like, I remember it was lingering for like 8 months, because I remember the doctors were like, it almost would have been better if you cracked it completely because it could heal. Otherwise, it couldn't heal. And I remember you were in pain for like forever.
A long time.
Those little nagging things.
Yeah. And that was from the snowblower in the Christmas episode.
And
where
that was
we just did a stunt.
Yeah, well, you just jumped into the air and you just happened to land.
I missed the fall mat. So there was a fall mat, but there was so much like snow blowing, couldn't really get a sense. So I jumped as high as I could in the air, curled my back into a ball, and then just came right down on the ground.
And then
I was like, ooh, that hurt. But the shot was still going. So I did it again, and I missed again.
Oh!
And I went to the hospital, like, I think a few hours later, and Danny went with me being like, I'll help you, like, get in. I think I mentioned this.
I'll help you get in. I can get you in. I know the doorman.
I'll get you. Yeah. And the nurse had no idea who he was.
Yeah. You were saying that.
What? The nurse didn't know who Danny DeVito was.
No.
We talked about this on the podcast.
We did.
No, we didn't.
We did. I mean, no, we just talked about it in the editing room.
Yes, we did. We talked about it.
We did.
We talked about this on the podcast.
Not when I was here.
Okay, Meg?
No,
Okay.
Megan says no, and she's listening.
She's
to them
edited
all.
The episodes. I'm telling you right now, we did not. I don't know what the fuck you're talking
were
about.
Were we in the editing room talking about it?
I think we're talking about the podcast.
You guys might have talked
about it. I feel like we're talking definitely, about the podcast too, so I felt weird bringing it up because, like, I think I'm repeating myself.
You definitely, myself here. definitely 100% did not talk about it in the podcast.
It was under the, the conversation we were having was whether or not people like knew the show mm-hmm. and how weird it was. The people like so it has been on for 15 years and people are like, what's that? I haven't heard of that. And then you told the story about Danny, but maybe it was just the two of us.
It might have been. It was probably in editing, you know?
It might have been. Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Did you eat breakfast today?
No.
Yes. I've eaten twice. You guys haven't eaten today?
No.
I haven't eaten today. I normally would have, but we didn't go to the office and then I was in the car.
It's a weird time. I usually eat around like 11:30. So I'm gonna overshoot that, but I can not eat till noon, 1 o'clock, something like that.
I got here a little bit early because I just went straight from dropping my kid at school over, and then I was like, oh, maybe I'll just find like a little restaurant near you. But there's so much traffic around your house that I was like, I'm just gonna go park on the street and do some calls and emails and things. But I should have gone to a little restaurant. We should go to In-N-Out Burger.
It's very similar.
What?
Should go to In-N-Out Burger.
We should go. We should go for lunch. See if anything's popping off over there.
We're sitting on a miniature set of Patty's Pub. I should bring this up. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe like so. It was in our office, and we got rid of that office. And they were like, "What do you want to do with it?" And Robbie said, "Oh, I'll take it. I'll put it up in my home, in my whatever you want to call this little side office." Why did we build this? Did we just build it for fun?
Yeah.
We got those offices. We knew they were going to be year round offices. We were under a deal and we were like, let's make it nice. You know, I think we were also like, you'd see like images, you'd see like the South Park offices or like the Simpsons offices or like any like long running comedy show. And there were always like
cool
ping pong tables and putting greens and like all this cool, fun shit. You know what I mean? And we were like, we should do that. And so we put in like a little,
and yet I feel like
we didn't use any of it.
We used the ping pong table.
I feel like that structure never had that energy though. But probably only because there wasn't enough space to really like run the show from there. Probably if we had set that up in a larger space where we were actually running the show from, then it will have the hustle bustle.
I think you're right.
You know, of an office. But instead it was just like this strange little miniature set.
Yeah.
In this little...
Which we never used because by that point we were all married with kids, and so we didn't have like we never sat at the bar and had drinks.
No, not at all.
No,
we've never really we've really just been kind of people that work together, and then when we leave, maybe we'll go out. We used to go out together, but we would never like drink at work. I think we definitely talked about this too. Like every once in a while on set, we would, but we never like drinking right.
How many people? No, I mean we're doing a job.
Yeah, that's a common misconception that we should clear up, right? Because that's a weird thing. People are like, oh, you guys probably just get high as shit and like write episodes. I'm like, I'm sorry, no, we so don't. Like, I mean,
there are people who do.
Yeah, absolutely. Rogan can be high as shit all day long and write like amazing stuff, and there's no way I could do that. No way.
Yeah, I couldn't operate. No. But you haven't built up the tolerance. I think that takes a lot of practice.
I think any drug just affects everybody differently, right? Because, I mean, there's no way that he feels the way I feel when I'm high.
Yeah.
Because if he felt the way I felt when...
He wouldn't do it. I've tried every single kind of fucking strand.
Me too.
I've smoked it. I've gummied it. I've everything.
Yep.
It definitely
can
affects...
Can you put it up your butt? yes, you can put weed up your butt still. Very good.